You're listening to the Morning Answer Daily Podcast with Jennifer Horn and Grant Stinchfield.
Hi, Jen and Grant. Love your show.
We love you. And keep up the great work. Best radio show out there, period. End of story.
Every morning, I listen to you guys. You're just part of my morning daily routine.
I thank the good Lord above for your program.
Thank you for fighting for Californians.
The Morning Answer is on.
Yes, we are. We are on, fired up, ready to go. It's a wild Wednesday here on The Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield.
And we'll start with a couple of updates to some stories that we have been following. Excuse me, that's my microphone. This week, Grant. You know, there's this little, just behind the scenes, because it is a 6 o'clock club. We have this, like, pulley system with our microphones on it. And my side of the pulley is like, broken. It's in the downward position. And so, I feel like I'm, like, lunging in, and I feel like I'm going to get neck strain with
the noise again. Make the noise again. Oh, there you go.
I can't even replicate it. But anyway, that's what that was.
You
I know, weird, huh? How about that?
Nope, that wasn't it.
We're professionals around here, doggone it. All right, so we'll start with this story. Yesterday, when we opened the show, we talked about this police officer who was on a motorcycle, thankfully wearing his vest because he's going to survive, and that wouldn't have been the case if he wasn't. And he was shot in the back by this guy who literally shoots him and takes off, right? I mean, brazen and bold. Well, the suspect who ambushed that LA County deputy, shooting him in the back while he was just sitting at a red light, apparently had a pretty extensive criminal history. He's been identified now as Raymundo Duran, who's 47. He was arrested in San Diego County by the CHP for drunk driving and a weapons possession. He's accused of shooting Deputy Samuel Espero on Monday afternoon in West Covina. The deputy was in uniform, marked LA Sheriff's Department motorcycle, sitting at that stoplight when this guy allegedly attacked him. He was in a Toyota Camry 2008 when he was arrested. There was a firearm that was recovered from his vehicle. And based on surveillance video and witness statements, they were able to connect him to the shooting of the deputy. According to Sheriff Luna, this criminal history also involves violent acts. So it's not just drunk driving. He's a known gang member. And I guess having him out there being associated with the gang, he just thought he would open fire on this police officer, which still, it just doesn't make any sense why you would do this to yourself or to someone else. But here we are.
Amazing that there are people out there like this. But there are, and it's a very dangerous world that we live in. You need to be aware, not just if you're a police officer, but you need to be aware if you're anybody.
Just watch everything.
And they have to wonder what the motive is for this. I mean,
well, and I would think, and you were a hard news reporter for such a long time. What I would think, typically when you hear about a drive-by shooting or a gang shooting from vehicle to something else, it's always with a group of people in the car, right? They're like maybe pushing each other to do that. Mm-hmm. It's really creepy to me that this was one single guy in this car that just decided, you know what, I'm going to shoot at that guy.
I don't know if he has a history with this motorcycle cop.
It does. It wasn't indicated if that hasn't come out yet, if it's true.
Yeah. Because, you know, this idea that you just – certainly it happens. We see it. But you know, it doesn't happen often.
Yeah.
That, you know, and when I say that, listen to me, everybody out there, I'm saying this in a mathematical perspective. Yes, it happens way too often in America that a cop is ambushed. But when you think about the interactions with police on a daily basis across America, this is not something that happens regularly.
Especially.
Somebody walks up and shoots a cop.
Right, in the back at a light.
In the back, right.
You know, not even in the line of, I mean, not obviously he was on duty, but not an engaged situation, right? You know, where the cop is trying
Man,
to pursue him.
If you're a police officer, what are you saying to yourself today? I mean, I'm literally have a target on your back.
I mean, thankfully, this guy is home. He's out of the hospital. He's recovering at home with his family. Thank God he was properly dressed with the vest. But this is not the first time. I mean, these ambushes seem to be happening. To your point about mathematics, we never really heard about this stuff. Not often anyway. But now you have to remember back to the police officer in Palmdale who gets ambushed in his cruiser. And it's this hateful chaos that just seems to be infecting us a little more frequently than it ever
did. I'd like to know were there any good Samaritans? Did anyone come to this cop's aid?
Well, the witnesses, definitely the witnesses were talking to police because that's how they identified the car. That's how they ultimately ended up arresting this guy. But holy smokes. All right, another update for you. On the break-in at Karen Bass's home, This was allegedly set up and targeted, according to authorities. There are more details now coming up. You know, we were questioning where the police were at Karen Bass's house when she was when this burglar broke into the house. And apparently it happened as they were doing a shift change. So whoever this person was, knew that this was the shift change.
Jen, yeah. I heard this lieutenant yesterday say, oh, it was a shift change. Every security expert in America knows you overlap shifts.
Yeah.
You've got to, even if it's just by 10 minutes, you overlap.
It's surprising. Like, I know.
You don't leave it vulnerable while you're changing shifts. And honestly, I'm still not buying it that this was targeted.
That's what they're saying.
Well, did they?
Yeah. Yeah, when the break-in happened, the question, of course, was how someone could have gotten into the home. There's a huge exterior wall. There's a security presence. So the new LAPD chief, Dominic Choi, who is the interim chief right now, talked about the timing, that he jumped the fence during a shift change. And again, we could talk about why there wasn't an overlap. That's appropriate. But during a shift change, a time between when the overnight security team leaves and before the daytime team gets to the house— Choi said that Hunter jumped over the fence quickly and was able to break in through the back of the house. This happened so quickly that even if somebody had been there, he probably would have been able to access the residence, Choi said. Mayor Bass, as we know, was home. Los Angeles DA, George Gascon, take that for what
it's worth. How do they say it was planned?
He said that he was, in fact, targeting Bass, but they're not giving out details yet. But, you know, they've got him in custody. So if they're talking to them and trying to figure out the motivation, Gascon yesterday said, we believe he was targeting the mayor, but it's an ongoing investigation. There were actions while he was inside the property that are consistent with the fact he knew this was the mayor's home and that he was looking for her.
Yeah, maybe he was a psycho piece. Who knows? I mean, you're going to find her at 6:45 in the morning.
But holy smokes.
I would offer up that the biggest story is that the LAPD... And I don't blame this on officers. This is a management deal. You don't know how to protect a protectee's home. Come on. A shift change. This is the most basic of operations.
If this is true, if it was a shift change, how often does that happen? It sounds like that would be a regularity, right? That they would just leave before
at the end of every shift.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which there are three shifts a day. So three times the mayor's house is unprotected. I mean,
crazy.
And then to say that we believe even if we were there, we wouldn't have stopped him. Well, there's something wrong with your security if you can't stop a guy from coming in the back door.
And certainly if I'm the mayor, and you know I don't give Mayor Bass a ton of grace, but I might make a call to Dominic Choi today and say, guys, can we get a little better on the overlapping, please? Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, get a little better on the overlapping. You know, she is the mayor of the second largest city in America.
And she has oversight over that police department. So, yeah.
She does need protection. I'm not going to say she doesn't need protection. She most certainly does. It's craziness, and that you know they glance over it. It's all about the guy. Well, there's lunatics everywhere. So to me, it's not so much about the guy. You just change the names. It's the same dude in every story we do. It's the same guy. Just change the name.
It will be interesting to see what comes out of the DA's office as they talk through this guy to see what the motivation was. Right?
Yeah, he should be let out today.
Yeah, right, in L.A. I mean, under normal circumstances, it's amazing he's still in jail.
No, I will tell you, if it was your house, was my house, he's out
already. He didn't steal anything. Yeah.
Right.
He didn't steal anything. He didn't hurt anybody. So there he goes. All right, 855-785-8255. We'll give you an update on President Trump. He is out of court today. They take Wednesdays off. But what happened yesterday... And will he be punished for breaking a gag order, at least according to the prosecutors, as your Wednesday Morning Answer continues?
Freedom of speech lives here. It's the Morning Answer with Jen and Grant.
Yes, it is. A Wednesday, we're moving slow. Are you? No. Come on. We're almost there. This is the middle of the week, guys. On the way to the weekend right now. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield.
Okay, so I have a little... Thank God for the Daily Mail. Guys, if you're like news junkies, political junkies, but you like a little bit of dirt, the Daily Mail is a really great news site to check every day. And so I meander over there every morning because typically our producers don't use this for like our show prep package. So I always like to check the Daily Mail on my own. Yeah. And they have more information about this Ephraim Hunter who broke into the Getty Mansion. You want it?
I do. You know what's great about the Daily Mail is they bullet point the story. So for radio hosts, it's really great.
Yeah, that don't know how to read like us, we can just go.
Yeah, you just do the bullet points.
Okay, so here's what we're learning. We're learning that Ephraim Hunter, who's been identified as the guy who broke into Care Bear's house at the Getty house, the mayor's mansion, that he was on drugs when he broke into the mayor's home. And his mother is the one who's been speaking to the Daily Mail. Josephine Dua is her name. She said on Monday that she spoke to her son, who's still in jail on bail, and that he was literally having a nervous breakdown while he was on drugs. He thought he was being threatened and chased before he ran into her mansion, apparently. In tears, talking to the Daily Mail, she says, quote, "My son is losing his mind. He thought people were chasing him, and he ran into that house randomly. He wasn't trying to break into the mayor's house."
So here's what I say. I said it was not planned. I still don't believe it was planned. They could say whatever they want. But...
And now Gascon says it was. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't believe it was. And apparently his mother doesn't believe it was.
The mother says, thank God it wasn't someone who would have pulled a gun and shot him because he was just trying to run away from someone he thought was trying to get him. He didn't know where he was and what he was doing. She says the truth is he needs mental help. Now, George Gascon says that he is going to charge, and he already did charge him, with first-degree residential burglary with the person present and one count of vandalism causing $500 or more in damage. I'm sorry. This irritates. Do you think for one second, if this wasn't Karen Bass's house, that George Gascon would be charging one count of vandalism causing $400 or more in damage on anybody? No way. Does anybody get charged with vandalism anymore by George Gascon? Anybody? And we have some DA friends. I'd love it to hear if you have had to prosecute a charge of vandalism on somebody in L.A. in the last 2 years.
Well, it's the mayor's house, and I had to do it this way because it's the mayor's house.
Now, I'm not mad that he's pressing this charge against this person, that he's prosecuting this. I'm mad that the rest of us don't get the same justice. It's irritating.
No. None of us will get the same justice. And it sounds to me like, I mean, if this guy really is mentally ill and he ran into the house thinking he's running away from somebody, I don't know if he should be charged with burglary.
Okay, so you have a couple. Here's somewhere, I have a feeling with this story, truth is somewhere in the middle. You've got the mom saying that the kid is having a mental breakdown because she doesn't want the kid to go to jail, right? She wants the kid to be given mental treatment.
Right.
She doesn't want him held accountable for his crimes. I get it. That's his mother. All right. So that's one story. And maybe he was out of his mind on drugs being chased.
What was the first thing I said, though, when this happened?
I said
crack addict,
right?
Who...
It's possible. It's also possible.
You can't be breaking into somebody's house,
right,
though.
It's also possible that he knew it was the mayor's house. Maybe he was having a delusion about the mayor. So then maybe George Gascon coming out and saying it was somehow a target. Maybe. Who knows what this guy is saying?
Right.
The point is, I just want this guy treated like the guy that broke into your house or the people who burglarized my mom's house.
No, no, no. You, it's other way around. You want the person that breaks into your house
treated like this guy. Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. Whatever. Say it that way.
Nothing will happen to him.
That's right. You understand.
I do.
I just want it to be equal for all of us.
You just want equality for all.
I want equality under the law, sir.
Yes.
855.
Equal pay for equal women.
Something like that.
How does it go?
I don't even know. 855-785-8255. So the mother says the guy was on drugs. We'll see. All right. We'll take your phone calls on that here in a few moments. The Senate yesterday passes this big aid bill for Ukraine and Israel, along with a potential TikTok ban. The Senate passed the $95 billion bill, which will give aid to Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan. And it sends that legislation now to Joe Biden's desk. He will, of course, sign it. He's never met an aid bill that he didn't like.
You know, Senator Mike Lee said there's no way Ukraine could win this war.
Well, Ukraine, I don't know if you saw it, but immediately Zelensky comes out and speaks English, like perfectly, saying thank you to America and that he really needed this and they're being outshelled. All of that may be true. I want accountability. I want transparency. I thought maybe we'd get that from Speaker Mike Johnson. I don't feel like we did. I just want to know where the money's going, how much of it's being used actually in Ukraine, and how much of that is getting sold by Ukraine, because there's a little bit of corruption in that country. I just want to know.
Well, there's some whistleblowers that are coming forward saying they're very...
Wait, who is coming forward?
Whistleblowers. A lot of whistle. They're saying that there's so much corruption in Ukraine, they can't track the money. They believe much of the weapons that are being sent over there are being sold on the black market.
This is what we've heard, right?
Yes.
So that's what I'm saying. How much of it's actually going to their fight? Where is everything else going? Hey, we've got a big call here because George Gascon is calling from downtown L.A. Now, I don't know if it's the George Gascon or just a George Gascon, but George Gascon from downtown L.A., good morning.
Hi-ho, this is George Gascon calling, and I wanted to explain to Jennifer and Grant, please don't yell at me. Please don't yell. I will answer all of your questions. Please don't yell at me. The reason we are charging $100,000 bet, I can't say that word, but $100,000 for the wonderful, pleasant Mr. Hunter, who is not really a criminal, but he's not. But what we found out, Jennifer and Grant, is that because he was targeting the mayor, this is an investigation, we can't talk about it, but he is MAGA. We're pretty sure he's MAGA.
You think so?
he was targeting the mayor and all of the other Muppet characters on Sesame Street, like me, Kermit the Frog, I mean, George the Gascon. So I want everybody to have a wonderful day and don't get murdered.
Thank you. Thank you, Kurt. I mean, George. Appreciate that.
Let me tell you something.
I'm District Attorney George Gascon.
You're the best call of the day right now. We've only had one so far, but you're the call.
Let me tell you
call.
Something. That is a great George Gascon impersonation.
I know. Right, like that Kermit.
Was,
let me
was
hear
that
George
Paul
again.
Sherman Oaks?
Hello. I'm District Attorney George Gascon.
I know.
Who was that? Do you know who
it was?
It was
George Gascon from downtown L.A.
No. We don't even know who it was
District
for real
Attorney
life.
George Gascon.
That was Paul.
That
Sherman
was Paul,
Oaks.
Really?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I can.
Come
tell.
On, that was the best. Seriously.
Yeah. Come on, Jen.
Usually,
you gotta get
so
an
good.
Ear. You gotta get an ear in these headphones.
I'm usually the best at identifying voices.
I knew that was Paul was from Sherman Oaks right away, even though it was a great, great, great,
amazing
imitation.
Paul, amazing. That's your literally. That's the vibe. Because sometimes you get a little cranked up. That's the vibe right there. Good. Funny.
I said, is that Paul from Sherman Oaks? I get a dirty look and a shake off.
I didn't shake it off or
it's
give
like
you a dirty
I'm
look.
Calling,
I just went,
like
I don't
want to
know.
Throw
I
a
said
fastball
it's George
and you're calling for the curve.
Oh, man.
You're shaking me off.
I'm going to give you a knuckle sandwich. Is what I'm going to do.
George Gascon.
All right. We'll let you know about this Senate bill and when Joe Biden will sign it. Plus, in your 2024 election update, the Secret Service planning for jail for President Trump. We'll tell you about that as your Wednesday Morning Answer continues.
You're listening to The Morning Answer with Jennifer Horn and Grant Stinchfield.
Hi, guys. I would have thought by now that the voting public will have had enough of crime, filth, illegal immigration, homelessness, and inflation. But apparently not. They keep voting Democrat.
Pick up the phone anytime and let Jen and Grant know what you're thinking. 877-590-5843. That's 877-590-5843. It's The Morning Answer.
Yes, it is. And we thank you for joining us on Wednesday, April 24th. I'm Jennifer Horn.
I'm Grant Stinchfield.
Want to remind you that we are setting sail. Our Patriots Alaska cruise leaves on June 29th. We return July 6th. We'll be there for 4th of July week. Ooh, and this cruise ship, man, oh, man, is it loaded. Loaded with Patriots. Me, Dr. Sebastian Gorka, Katie Gorka, Chris DeGaulle, Mike Gallagher. Loaded with Patriots just like you, over 357 of them, of you coming with us to Alaska. And we want you to be a part of this. We've got group activities planned every single day. So you're going to get face-to-face access, time to talk about the best strategies for winning in 2024. There is five-star luxury cruising through Holland America. You're going to get the best food, the best amenities, the best opportunities for shore excursions and the excursions. The ports of call. Amazing. Juneau, Ketchikan, Icy Strait Point, scenic cruising through Stevens Passage and Victoria, British Columbia. Guys, you're going to see glaciers. You're going to see wildlife. You are going to see sea life. You will see the history and the culture, the gold rush and the totem poles. It's truly something amazing. And we want you to come with us. Only a few weeks left to book your cabin. So patriotsalaskacruise.com. That's patriotsalaskacruise.com. Or you can get the link on our website, am590.info or am870.info. Click on that banner right now. Don't miss your opportunity. This isn't going to happen again. So it's a once-in-a-lifetime chance to go to Alaska with all of us. at am870.info, am590.info, Patriots Alaska Cruise. All right, Grant, you ready for a little election update?
Ready.
Here we go.
The 2024 election season is here. This is the Morning Answer's 2024 election update.
All right, let's start off with some not so great news for President Joe Biden. Apparently, only 21% of voters strongly approve of President Biden. I'd love to know who those people are. 49% strongly disapprove in a Rasmussen poll. Now, overall, the poll found a 20-point difference between voters who approved of Biden and those who did not. He's at a 39% approval rating. According to Rasmussen, 59% disapproved, which means he's underwater by 28 points, which is his lowest rating since July of 2022. Not where you want to be in an election year.
You know, last I checked, his approval rating is going down. President Trump's approval rating is higher than it was when he was in office.
That's right.
So this is big trouble for Joe Biden.
Yep.
Now, and things can change in an instant, as we've mentioned.
And things may. I mean, you've got all these court cases. You have all these unknowns. You don't know what the news cycle is going to look like. We don't know what's going to be thrown at us.
This court case against President Trump in New York, it's so frustrating. The media does not understand what this case is about.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even understand what the actual charge is.
Right.
Okay? So they call it a hush money case. And you mind if I take a moment to explain this?
Please.
Because I want everyone to understand this. They call it a hush money case. It's not a hush money case. It's a records keeping case. President Trump pays Michael Cohen a certain amount, and it goes in as legal expenses. President Trump claims, I don't know what Cohen did with the money. Cohen then pays off Stormy Daniels. Whether he knew what he did with the money or didn't know what he did with money is not the case. The case is, did you falsify the records to cover up another crime?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, did you falsify the records? And so the media is going on, it's proof they falsified the records. It was just they falsified the records. That's not the case. Did you falsify the records to cover up another crime? The other crime would be not registering the payment as a benefit to the campaign. Well, lo and behold, the federal government says, no, we don't see a crime here. We're not prosecuting that. If you can believe it, the one case that they can't find a crime, they
right.
decide not to prosecute. Forget about all the other ones that they should have not prosecuted. But so now you have a case where you write in legal expenses instead of whatever they want them to write in to cover up a crime,
like a campaign,
a federal agency
benefit.
Says didn't occur.
Right.
How are you convicted of a crime to cover up a crime that didn't occur?
It didn't happen. And even if there was a crime, my understanding is it's a misdemeanor. It's not a felony. It's not a criminal charge.
That's right.
Right.
And so now they're bringing in this, what's his name, Pecker?
David
Pecker.
Mm-hmm.
What a horrible name to go through life.
Well, he was the guy at the National Enquirer who had this deal, which was publicized before with Trump, where he was like killing. He was publishing positive stories about Trump, and then negative stuff about Ted Cruz.
But the main thing was he was tipping off Michael Cohen
yeah.
as to who was selling stories.
Right. It was like one of them was a doorman of President Trump.
Yeah. Well, you brought up Karen McDougal.
Yeah. She's testifying before. Next.
Mm-hmm. But I don't understand why any of this is germane to the case.
Well, a lot of people say that his testimony, the prosecutors brought him in hoping it would be like the slam dunk. But a lot of folks that I've heard that have been paying attention to what is happening, because, you know, it's hard without cameras. They're hearing like secondhand.
Right.
But from people that have heard this, like Andrew McCarthy and others, they said that the Packer's testimony was very damaging to prosecution, actually, with the jury.
That's interesting, mm-hmm. because I still don't understand how it is germane to the case. You've got a high-profile individual. Of course he wants to know if there's negative stories coming out. Why wouldn't you bring in somebody like that or even pay someone like that? I don't think there was any indications he was paying him to do this stuff, but they were talking about buying stories. So at one point, David Pecker said he told Trump to buy Karen McDougal's story. And Trump says, I don't buy stories.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, I still think you should do it. So,
and that's what they did.
So that's what they did. So, but this has nothing to do with the actual record and what it was. I mean, this whole case, it should be thrown out. And I can explain this to you in 5 minutes, and we're going to take 3 weeks doing it in court.
100%.
It's unbelievable to me.
Yep. All right. So 855-785-8255. Yesterday in court, pre-testimony from David Packard, the Supreme Court Justice, or New York Supreme Court Justice Juan Merchan, had a gag order hearing with President Trump and the lawyers. The prosecutors say that Trump violated his gag order 10 times. Now, they're not saying that they want to send him to prison yet. They want to charge him $1,000 for each of these violations if the judge operates in that manner, meaning that Trump would owe 10 grand for stuff that he put on Truth Social. Not even stuff that he said, but stuff that he put on Truth Social. They're trying to make the argument that he can't talk about Michael Cohen. He can't talk about Stormy Daniels. He can't talk about Judge Merchan's daughter. He is not allowed to do that. His team is saying, well, Michael Cohen's out there all the time yipping. How come he gets to say everything and Trump can't respond? And what about the judge who seems to have a conflict of interest? And what about one of the prosecutors in the case who also seems to have a conflict of interest working for the DOJ under Joe Biden? So that was the argument. The disturbing thing is that the Secret Service this morning, the story is, Grant, that they are now making preparations to figure out how and what it will look like if and when President Trump goes to jail.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine? Now, they've got to be prepared for anything.
Of course.
Judge Merchan had a fiery exchange with one of the Trump lawyers, says, I'm losing patience with you. As the Trump lawyer says, sharing, retweeting, posting is not
sharing, a violation, right?
A violation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we just lost our Zoom, by the way. I don't know what happened.
Check your text messages.
So, I don't know. I lost my train of thought now that happened in the middle of the...
No. So, basically, I think what we're talking about is Merchan said that he's losing his patience. The Trump team is trying to make the argument that what's on social media is not in violation of the gag order. The decision has not yet been made. We don't know what Merchan's going to do, but we will see. Also, of note, the Supreme Court will be taking up Trump's immunity claims this week, and that's a big one. That could clear him, depending on their decision, if they make a big decision, from some of the other trials that he's facing. So we will have an update for you on that. We'll also tell you more about Joe Biden and this bill, big aid bill, coming to his desk today as your Wednesday Morning Answer continues.
Is it Beauty and the Beast or more Lady and the Tramp? Find out now here on The Morning Answer with Jennifer Horne and Grant Stinchfield.
Thanks for joining us on your Wednesday Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horne.
I'm Grant Stinchfield.
All right. President Trump yesterday, busy going to court, but still had time to talk about the protests going on college campuses across the country, Columbia to Yale to Berkeley. They're happening on each coast and in between. And now you've even got these encampments that are set up on Columbia where these people are just setting up shop and camping, these pro-Palestinian groups. President Trump, before going into court yesterday, had this to say.
What's going on at the college level, at the colleges, Columbia, NYU, and others, is a disgrace. And it's really on Biden. He has the wrong signal. He's got the wrong tone. He's got the wrong words. He doesn't know who he's backing. And it's a mess. And if this were me, you'd be after me, you'd be after me so much, but they're trying to give him a pass. But what's going on is a disgrace to our country. And it's all Biden's fault, and everybody knows it. He's got no message. He's got no compassion. He doesn't know what he's doing. He can't put two sentences together, frankly. He is the worst president in the history of our country. And again, what's going on is a disgrace.
He is on all fronts. Worst president in history. And a disgrace. Thank you, Mr. President.
Yeah. And notice, so what would you do differently? How about just provide leadership and say this kind of behavior is not going to be tolerated? That's what I think is really failing, is that you have these presidents of these campuses who are so busy tripping over themselves to appease everybody that they are just there's no law and order. There's no right and wrong. There's no here's what's appropriate. Here's what's not. There's no line in the sand. There's no leadership. And that's what's really at play here. This is what you're seeing. In fact, do you have Dan from yesterday? I don't know if you can grab it. But after 9/11, the president of Columbia University spoke out about what that was an example of. We had it on the board yesterday. If you can take a look, I think it was somewhere on the right, if my photographic memory is right. And give me the thumbs up when you have it. But interesting to see. That's the leadership that is still at Columbia, which we'll hear in a second. You've got these encampments that are now being allowed by school officials to stay in place at Columbia when they've canceled their classes and sent Jewish students and everybody else home because they can't guarantee their safety, yet they're still allowing these people to camp out. It's unbelievable.
And so I saw a Jewish professor who was blocked from coming on campus. The administration saying, oh, it's too dangerous for you to come on campus, when they're allowing these pro-Hamas lunatics to come on campus. There were others chanting October 7th will be every day.
Yeah.
How do you think that is is acceptable behavior?
That's exactly right. Now, this is the president of Columbia from referring to the terrorist attack of 9/11. Take a listen.
So it's not, you'll always have individuals who will have extreme views. But what's really troubling in the region is that there's actually quite a broad base of society which has some sympathy for the terrorists. Not so much because they approve of their methods, but it's a form of protesting against a system which is not delivering for them on the economic or the political front.
Oh, okay. So it's justified because they don't have an economic situation that they're happy with. It's okay.
You know,
justifying
amazing.
Terrorism is what this woman did after 9/11.
After 9/11. And so I don't even think most of these lunatics go to Columbia University.
Oh, so a lot of them are from out of the area. But the surprising thing are all, like, I was watching Fox and Friends this morning, and they have Lawrence Jones in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And he's talking to these two girls who look like they are pulled from ding-dongs of Instagram, right? And they're there at this pro-Palestinian thing. And he's saying, how can you support babies being put into ovens? And she said, that's been disproven, right? And she looks at the girl next to her. That's been disproven. That didn't happen. That's been disproven.
Oh, my Lord.
Okay. So stop getting your news from TikTok, ding-dong, and, like, get with the real world. In fact, as violent as this footage is, and I wouldn't want to see it, maybe these people who are sitting there protesting, making a nuisance of themselves, should be forced to watch this. They have no understanding. Sarah Carter last night on Hannity's show asked what the river to the sea meant, like what river they were talking about. These people have no idea. Listen.
No.
What does from the river to the sea mean?
It means that Palestine should be autonomous.
What river?
Okay. The expression is not anything bad.
No, there's an actual river and an actual sea.
Yeah, I'm aware of this.
No, but what river, what sea?
That literally is beside Israel and the Palestinian territories.
It's the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. October 7th, Hamas attacked women and children. Does Israel have a right to defend itself?
I'm asking you a question, too.
Does Israel have a right to defend itself?
No one has a right to kill 30,000 people.
No one has a right to dismember babies and put them in ovens and kill them.
That never happened.
What is your solution?
Bomb Israel.
Bomb Israel. That's the solution. So don't bomb one place. Bomb another.
Yeah. And could they get any more annoying with the cowbell? Like, what is that about?
Oh, I'm telling you, you know, if you're their parents, you're so disappointed in your children.
You may not be, because you taught them to be like this.
Probably. I bet you these are, you know, the moms that are over 40 with purple hair?
Yep.
Like, grow up, the nose ring. I'm telling you right now, ladies out there, if you're over 40 and you got a belly button ring or a nose ring or purple or pink hair, you've passed it. It's time is up, man. I'm sorry. It's passed you by. You got to get rid of that stuff.
If this were my child, we'd be having a long conversation. Look, here's the thing. If you want to argue...
Do you agree, by the way, on the piercings for women over 40?
Yeah, but you know, my cousin sometimes does the colorful hair, and she looks cute, and she's like 41 or whatever she is.
She's on the cusp.
It's the cusp, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Okay.
A lot of piercings, though.
Oof. A lot of piercings. Yeah, it's you know.
Sometimes they don't go away. I mean,
sometimes
look,
you got to grow up.
I don't have any, like, unusual piercings, just my ears, so
yeah.
I'm the wrong person to ask, and I've never had anything but blonde hair, so I don't know. I'm pretty basic, if right. what I'm getting at.
You're not, there's nothing basic about it.
Oh, thanks. You. Thanks. So, God, I'm not used to a compliment. I just forgot. So.
Get out of here. I compliment you all the time.
Whoa, hold on. Let me get my train of thought back. Oh, these kids. Got to get back to those kids. If these are my kids, I'm saying, look, you can argue your point. You want to be pro-Palestinian? You want to be pro-Palestine? You want to be, forget that, pro-Hamas. You want to be pro-terror? Then be able to articulate your argument. But the problem that you see, whether it's Sarah Carter talking to this girl about naming the river and the sea and what that even means, or Lawrence Jones talking to these girls who don't believe that kids were put in ovens, right, because that's been disproven, you got to get yourself up to speed. If you're going to defend a group of terrorists, well, you better come with facts. And these kids are just finding things online. They're seeing trends. Some of them, I think, are being paid to be agitators. It is just extremely frustrating. And that's why we have to figure out where freedom of speech begins and ends and where people's right to not be called a pig as they try to walk to their math class also begins, because people have a right to feel safe on their campus as well.
People have a right to feel safe anywhere in America. Really, it should be anywhere in the world, but specifically in America. Specifically in America, you should have a right to feel safe. This is the country of freedom and the freedom to move about your nation freely and safely. And that's not the case anymore. You know, from the crime capitals like Los Angeles to lunacy capitals like, well, New York and Los Angeles, I guess. They're both crime and lunacy capitals. But
all right.
It's a shame.
It is. 855-785-8255. 855-785-8255. A new report from the LAPD. Well, it talks about how many officer-involved shootings, or officer shootings, actually happened in 2023. Is that number going up or down? As your Wednesday Morning Answer continues.